Gospel reading this morning is taken from John 1, 1 to 18. Unlike the synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John begins his Gospel by showing how Jesus, as the Word of God, had a part in the beginning of creation. The passage goes on to tell us that when, through faith, we recognize Jesus, that he is then revealed as the Word of God in the living human being and as the only Son of God. Hear now God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he who I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm losing my voice a little bit too, so if I take a few sips, that's why. In preparing today's sermon, I came across a comic strip. You might remember that last week, Pastor Bruce came across a comic strip, and I'm coming to believe there is a wealth of theological information held in the funny papers. But this comic strip, most of you will know it, it's Dennis the Menace. So it's Christmas morning, and Dennis is opening his presents. And he's standing there in the room up to his chin in presents. It looks as if they have dumped a dump truck load of presents on top of Dennis. And as he's standing there, the caption says, "Is that all? Is that all there is this year?" Unfortunately, a lot of us feel that way at this time of the year. Another Christmas and New Year's has come and gone. Down goes the Christmas trees. We start seeing them at the side of the road. Down come the decorations. Away go the candles and the Christmas CDs. The only thing that we have left to show for this past Christmas are those presents that are quickly dwindling, or in my case, the few extra inches around the middle. And it's at this point that we tend to echo that question that was put forward by Dennis. Is that all there is? I'm glad to state that the answer to this question is a loud, resounding no. A no which was echoed from the songs of the angels, the joy of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. The answer is no. That's not all there is. As Christians, we know that Christmas is about much more than the presents that we receive under the tree. It's about the promised Messiah, a promise which had been foretold from the beginning of time. It had been anticipated, expected, th- through the loving message of God as told to us through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many more of the Old Testament prophets. On that Christmas day, so long ago and yet so near, we found that we were not alone. We suddenly discovered that there is someone right there beside us, and that someone is none other than the Son of God, the Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. What John is saying is that God came and dwelt among us, that Jesus is the very nature, the very essence of God. This doesn't mean that Jesus was sort of like God, or that Jesus had some godly characteristics. No, he was God, is God, creator and sustainer of all things, that through Jesus all things were made. Paul echoes this in Colossians chapter 1 when he says that all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. On that Christmas Eve, Jesus made a choice. He chose to lay down his divine rights in order to walk with us on this earth that we call home. I don't know how many of you may be downsizing these days. Not long ago, my mother sold the old family home, which we all remember as being very cramped. She sold it because she said it was just too big, had too many stairs in it, and so she went to move into the LaSalle Towers. But do you want to talk about downsizing? Jesus left heaven for a no-bedroom timeshare. He goes from transcending all things, time and space, to being fenced in by geography. He goes from absolute perfection to having to live in the cesspool of our sin-filled world, having to learn to walk, to experience hunger and exhaustion, to be laughed at, spit on, beat upon, stripped and humiliated, nails driven through his hands and feet. Now that, my friends, was downsizing. But by downsizing on that Christmas Eve, God gave us a present like no other present. God knocked on the door of humankind and presented himself as a man, a God with a human face, and it's on that face that I want us to focus on today. John says in our text that no man has ever seen God until now, but we now see him in the face of that babe of Bethlehem. God became a man, identified himself with men and women, that we might know God personally, physically, realistically. Ephesians 1:9 says that God made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure. Because of that Christmas some 2,000 years ago, we now know where God is, what God is like, and where we can find God. To look at Jesus is to see God. To look at the face of Christ, you look into the nature of God. In our text, John says, we have seen his glory. In Jesus' face, we see the glory of God. Our gospel text goes on to say, in him was life. Life was in Christ. And automatically, we understand that God is life. God is the very essence of life. Through him, all things were made. It's not so much the case that of God having life, but that God is life. Jesus once said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is the author of all life, and this life of God's, as seen in Christ, is permanent. He is the Alpha, in the beginning was the Word, and he is the Omega. In the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Unlike our toys, which are here today or gone tomorrow, our mortal bodies, which do see decay, God's life is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. When I was 17 years old, my grandfather passed away quite suddenly. And I vividly remember when this happened. It happened just before Christmas. And it shook me up a lot because it was my first experience with the loss of a loved one. But I recall my grandmother during that time. She said to me, she said, "Mike, it's all right. It's all right because your grandfather has gone to the Lord and we will see him again." Those words had a profound impact on that young man. I was amazed by her faith, and today I recall those words each and every time that I have to deal with the loss of a loved one. But I also think of those words of comfort from our Lord. "Because I live, you shall live also." Don't you just see the power in that gift? The gift that provides hope and comfort for all who look to him. Hope and comfort to the Labelles, the Stobies, the Herringas, the Smolinskis, the Hunick family, as they face their time of loss. When we look into the face of Jesus, we see that God is life. We see true life, which is real and genuine. Life which can only be obtained by accepting Christ into your heart, into your soul, into your very being. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, and that God is life. Looking again into the face of this helpless child in the manger, we also see that God is light. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was come into the world. The light of God's care and love for us shines. There is a radiance in the face of Jesus. It reflects the shining face of God, a face brighter than the sun, which comes forth into the darkness. Now, this isn't some nebulous kind of darkness that sits out there somewhere. This is a personal darkness inside each of us. That moral and spiritual shadow lands of our minds and souls. And it's into this darkness that God shined his light on that first day of Christmas. When you think about it, we were all made for the light, meant for it, and it for us. It's interesting to read the Old Testament book of Genesis that before God said, "Let us make man," he said, "Let there be light." The indication is that he put man into a lighted world. But somehow we got it all mixed up with the darkness, and our inner selves became infiltrated and flooded by that darkness. But while we may have allowed the darkness into our lives, we should not sell ourselves short. As much darkness as there is within us, don't you think God saw something in us that was worth coming for? Worth reaching for? The darkness within us conceals much of that beauty and of precious worth. God knows the beauty and the value of his creation. He knows the beauty deep down in each and every one of us. He can see that through the shadows, and so he comes, the light, that the darkness may be driven away, allowing the beauty within us to shine forth. And it is in this revealing light that we are allowed to see our own lives the way that we were meant to be. The light does make a fantastic difference to how we see things. Our text is telling us that the light of God's presence was found in the face of Jesus Christ. But this leads one to the logical question, which is, how does the light come into the world today? Well, the answer is simple. Since Christ has gone home to be with his Father, the light must shine forth through the church, through you and through me, through those who claim to be the children of God. Jesus said that we, his disciples, are the light of the world. Of course, this then leads to a real hard question. If there are more than a billion Christians in the world today, why is there still so much darkness and hatred in our world? Is it possible that we have allowed our lights to dim, or worse, to go out altogether? If this is the case, we need to take the candles of our hearts back to Christ and let him reignite it. If each of us is a candle in this dark world, then it goes without saying that the world will be a brighter place. If we let our light shine, then God will be glorified by what we do. So when we look at God's face, we see life, and we see God's light, but we also see that God is love. There is nothing but kindness, tenderness, understanding in the face of Jesus. This is the way it is with God. God is love. Ephesians states that in love, he, God, predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. We see God's love in that through faith in Christ, we become the children of the Most High, the children of God. Luther considers, and many agree, that John 3:16 is the greatest text in the Bible. And I invite you all now to recite it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. This is undoubtedly one of the most recognized verses in the Bible. It's like the Hallmark Corporation said in their advertisement, when you care enough, you send the very best. God loves us so much that he sent his very best, and his very best was his one and only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, God in Jesus. Billy Graham once said that God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God's way of saying to the world that I love you, and I love you, I love you, I love you. God sent his one and only Son that through his sacrifice our sins could be forgiven. And it's through that gift of grace that we become his children, the children of God, invited to live in his loving embrace for all eternity. God has indeed given us a gift like no other gift. God sent us his Son so that we could see Jesus' face, and we can see in it God is life, that God is light of the world, and that we can recognize God's love for us. Now there's one last point which I would like to make, and it's this. When we accept that gift from God, when we recognize God's face in Jesus, then it's at that point that a real miracle starts to happen to those people around us, to those that we meet when we go to school or we go to work, those that we walk with in our daily walk. Those people start seeing God in us, in our face, in your face, and in mine. As we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. When Stephen was dying from being stoned to death for his Christian witness, the book of Acts said his face was like the face of an angel. When we go out into the world, we are called to reflect the face of God to everyone we see. And when people look into our face, they will see life that is real. The light which shines forth from God, and the love which is the true gift of God. So here we are at the end of another Christmas season. And some of us, like Dennis the Menace, have asked, is that all there is? Well, the answer is no. That's not all there is. In fact, it's just the beginning for all who have received that gift which was freely given to us from God, that gift of Jesus. Let's go forth into the new year accepting this call with all our hearts, with all our strength, and with all our soul. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you so much for the power of your word. And I want to thank you for this past Christmas and New Year's when we were able to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, this gift of your Son, this babe in the manger, goes beyond our ability to fully understand. It is the gift of salvation for all who believe. It is the gift of knowing you as we look into the face of Jesus. It is the gift which will never tarnish or fade. Lord, we ask that you will strengthen us daily so that through our witness of your love in our lives, others will be able to accept this gift as well. I thank you, Lord, for Bethel Church, and I pray that you will continue to guide us as we walk in the way that you want us to go. Lord, we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice has brought us true hope, light, and love into our world. Amen.